Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and we've got some really special coverage that I'm very excited about. First of all, I have a co-host here today. Taryn, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. Very excited.
Yes, very exciting because we have long looked forward to talking to this person here on the podcast. That he is the co-executive producer from Big Brother Canada, and he has worked on the Big Brother US, and now he is currently talking to us from the UK, where he's going to go be working on Big Brother UK. Of course, also, you may know him as well as the voice of Marsha the Moose, among many other things on Big Brother Canada. Please welcome Trevor Boris. Trevor, how are you?
I'm good. Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what I do. People only want to hear about Marsha. That's the truth.
Well,
that's all they care about.
I'm sure we will touch on Marsha the Moose. Thank you very much for coming on and talking with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we got to see you briefly when we did the live show in Toronto last year. So then thank you very much for coming out and checking out what we were doing.
Yeah, was that this? That was this season you came?
2017.
Yeah, season 5, I think, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, which part? Being in Canada?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you like?
We had a great time.
Yeah. Well, we're happy to have you. I mean, I know our experience is a little different than the U.S. It's like, but it's kind of fun because we have a huge studio, so we get like 300 people out. So there's like just this really great energy, and it's super fun. So. Yeah, I've brought a few friends out to tapings and stuff, and it's always a blast.
Yeah, well, we have been, trying to track you down for a while, so glad to finally have you here with us today. And so,
I noticed you just followed me on Instagram now, so I don't really know how hard you've been trying to get a hold of me. You just followed me.
Yeah, well, that was, I didn't even think to look at your Instagram. Start doing research for this show.
Anyway, I'm here.
Yes. So, Trevor, I feel like you have an interesting background in terms of getting involved with these shows. Can you just take us through a little bit about what was your journey to ultimately getting to go work on the first Big Brother Canada?
Yeah, I mean, definitely I've taken kind of a weird path. I mean, I started out in stand-up. I was a stand-up comic for like 15 years. And really kind of started to do a lot of on-air work and, loved it. I got to travel the world. I was on Conan and had my own DVD and stuff like that and really enjoyed it. But always kind of knew that it was not kind of my end game. Like, I loved it, but I always, even more so, I loved the doors that it opened. And I started producing a show that I was on. It was called Video on Trial. It was in Canada for 9 years, really popular show. And, started producing that and really kind of started enjoying that side of it and kind of knew that in terms of like long term. I mean, you know, when you're a comic or an actor, like it's so hard. You're really just like at the whim of the world, and you don't have a lot of control and stuff. And I got to do a lot of the things that I wanted to do in stand up. So getting into producing, just you get more control of your life and you still kind of like in terms of like the creative stuff and that. Like, and I wasn't a great writer, so I was just getting really sick of my act and stuff. So producing, you know, kind of turned out to be this really awesome thing that I never really thought I would get into, but stand-up was kind of a perfect lead into. And so I kind of started, I also started like writing on like award shows and things like that. Did a lot of writing. And then I guess producing, I was kind of like a host producer on Canada's Got Talent, which was the same production company that does Big Brother. And then, you know, I just kind of heard through the grapevine that Big Brother Canada was going to happen. And I emailed like my boss, and I was like, I just have to be, I will sweep the floors, I will do whatever, I just have to be involved, such a huge fan. And so season one, I was actually one of the casting directors, like one of the Canadian ones. Obviously Robin Cass still did it, and I was kind of part of the casting team, and then kind of got offered challenges in kind of a weird way, and it was not something that I ever thought I would do. But you know, when I look back now, like I'm a huge fan of Survivor and Big Brother, and had always loved the challenges. And so, you know, I think they thought, you know, if I, with my comedy background and producing, that I could kind of maybe bring some humor to it. And so I kind of just took it and I was like, oh, you know, well, because we were all kind of just figuring it out that first season. None of us had really worked on Big Brother before, and it turned out to just be obviously like the greatest thing to ever happen to me, because here we are. You know, when I come back from the UK, I will have done 10 seasons in 3 countries. So, you know, what a bizarre gift. So,
yeah. And the challenges, I feel like, is one of the things that Big Brother Canada consistently gets a lot of praise for in terms of sort of like thinking outside of the box, and not necessarily with all due respect to the American version of that. It feels like that the challenges are often, you know, things that we haven't seen before in Canada.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the last couple of years, I mean, here's the thing, that the way we approach Big Brother Canada is that obviously our fans watch the U.S. show as well. I mean, including me and everyone that works on the show, we love it. But, you know, for us to do a Canadian version, we're like, well, why do it unless it's different? You know, we can already watch the U.S. one. So I think that's kind of just been a really great gift to us in terms of the show. Like, because, you know, we approach it as like, well, let's take some risks and let's do different things. And, you know, we've certainly kind of pulled a little from the youth, like the international format, with doing more, you know, tasks and kind of some kind of crazy twists. Like when we brought in, you know, Nikki Graham and Tim from other countries in and stuff like that. So in terms of challenges, you know, again, like Erin Brock, who's the showrunner, who's amazing. She really encourages us all to, you know, think big. And so for me, it's been great. Like it's given me a chance to kind of really do all kinds of crazy, wacky stuff. I think that is for us too on the team. It makes it super fun because we know we can really, you know, like to me, it's like, I don't think sometimes, you know, I'll pitch an idea to my team and they'll be like, oh, like does that doesn't seem like a veto comp. And it's like, well, what is a veto comp? Like, do you know what I mean? Like it can be whatever we want it to be. So I think, you know, we try and have some fun. Now, we've done some cool stuff.
In terms of the show being sort of like a hybrid of what goes on with the U.S. version and then also what goes on in the international versions, was that something that was sort of like from the first iteration of the conception of Big Brother Canada, that was something that was the direction of the show?
I don't think necessarily. I mean, I can't really speak for Erin, who, you know, is the showrunner. But I would say, like, as we've evolved, I think, you know, we've tried, like, one thing that the UK does really well and other countries around the world, they really theme a season really well. And I think that's kind of something that we've, you know, I guess not, you know, season one, it was just Big Brother Canada. But I think, you know, season two is kind of the season of secrets, and we had a secret room, which is certainly something they've done in the international versions. And then we've done, you know, like season five was like space and time and. So I think, you know, kind of like theming, you know, we do these great cold opens and you know, really like theme our seasons. I think that's something very kind of international that we've really loved doing. So I think it's kind of just something like the show is kind of, it just kind of evolved, I think, naturally. And it's kind of, I think what I like about it is that, you know, you see little bits of, it's obviously the US format, but you see hints of the international. Same with like Marsha, like they've got talking, you know, things in the UK and stuff like that. So that was kind of something that we took as well. But I think now you see stuff and I think a lot of the things feel very distinctively Canadian. Like now you look at stuff and you go, that's a very Big Brother Canada. Like I think we've kind of like carved out our own little thing, which is pretty cool. I mean, it's, you know, we're still kind of young in a way. Like this is our seventh season. And so many, I mean, I think the UK now with celebs, they've like, I think they're on like 43 or something. Cause they do 2 or 3 a year. So it's crazy, you know? Yeah. So we're still kind of the new kids on the block, you know?
One thing I really like about Big Brother Canada is like how you still have like really goofy moments. I mean, Marsha is definitely one of those things, but it also seems like, especially with the competitions and everything, like you also take yourselves a little more seriously than, you know, Big Brother US is like very like fun summer, you know, let's have a competition about like spanking the contestants. But like Big Brother Canada has like really cool set pieces a lot. Is that something that you like actively work toward in Canada?
Well, you know, the one really cool thing that I mean, for me that I love, like, you know, it started out maybe as like a negative, like in Big Brother Canada, obviously we film in the winter, so we don't have a real backyard. It's like it's closed off. The only outdoor space they have is the hot tub. So for challenges, you know, we're all kind of enclosed, which, you know, kind of seemed like maybe it was a negative, but in actuality, like it's it allows us to do a lot of things with like lighting and special effects and things like that. So it allows us to be like super moody and dramatic with challenges.
Yeah.
You've seen like, we've done crazy like action stuff and we do a lot of special effects and things like that. And that's something the US can't do. Like I did one season on it and, you know, had a total blast, but it's truly outdoors. So you're battling things like the sun and shade, and it gets super hot. So you can't do a lot of stuff with metal because it gets hot. And so there's kind of a lot of things that are, even though, you know, it's like, it's great because they're in California and it's outdoors and it's summer and it's beautiful, for, from a challenge perspective, I actually really like that we're in kind of a closed box because it really lets us do whatever we want, you know?
So let me ask you a current events question in terms of challenges. Here in the U.S., that we are still, you know, shook from the events from Thursday night.
The puzzle
that Caitlin had to do. Now, you know, you obviously you're not working on Big Brother 20. As an outsider, did you feel like that that challenge looked like something that was, you know, should have been a layup for her?
Well, here's the thing that I've learned is to never underestimate a house guest, because you just like overestimate, I guess. Because the thing is, you know what? It of course it seemed pretty straightforward, but the thing is, and you know, and the truth is too, like I have a little compassion for them because watching it, of course, it looks super easy, and a lot of these challenges do. But when you're there and you're under the spotlight and the pressure, and you know it's live, it does something to you, and you blank, and it's one of those things that, like, I mean, I've seen it, you know, numerous times on Big Brother Canada as well, like under, I don't know, like way back season one, I guess, Tala with the 1919999. Yeah. Like you, people have you, and it's like, it was a 4-digit number and she was spouting out 12 digits at a time. And you're like, well, it's a 4-digit number, you know? So it's kind of one of those things that, yeah, like you're watching and you're, and my heart was racing as I was watching it. And cause it's so exciting to see that just kind of play out live. And will she get it? And of course it looked like she should have got it. And, you know, she came like an inch, like it was so close that I wouldn't have been shocked if they kind of gave it to her, though. It was kind of there, right? Like it was all kind of there. But yeah. At the same time, it's like, it's just one of those, like, you know, in those moments, you know, you can't expect anything from a house guest.
Yeah, do you know, like, how is a final call made on something like that? Like, are there, you know, is it a challenge producer is ultimately going to, you know, give the thumbs up or thumbs down to the host of the show? Or
yes, it would be. Yeah, I mean, like, if this was, I mean, I'll speak just for myself. If this was in Big Brother Canada, I would be in the booth. And I would be relaying to Aaron, who is the showrunner, and then she would relay to Arissa, our host. But it would certainly be my judgment call. And of course you try and be as objective as possible. But on something like that, like there's always, of course, like the littlest bit of kind of gray area. And there's a bit of judgment call, of course, always on that kind of stuff. If it's not super clean cut, especially puzzles and things like that can always be a little tricky just for the way things fit and stuff like that. You know, nothing's ever like absolutely perfect. And especially when you're doing a puzzle that's kind of like freestanding, it's a bit tricky.
Yes.
So it's kind of one of those that's like, you know, we always kind of say it's like the spirit of it. Like, did you get the spirit of it? You know,
mm-hmm. Have you ever had one of those moments where like something unexpected happens and now you have to sort of adjust, like what do you do now? Cause I think, you know, I imagine they were expecting her to be able to complete it and now their schedule is probably off. So like, do you think they have contingency plans? Is that something that you've done before? Like, do you have any insight on that?
Yeah, I can't speak to that specifically of them, but you know, I mean, for us, like if we were to do something where something is hinging on a house guest coming back or not, yeah, you'd have to be prepared for both. Like it really seems like they're expecting her to come back and maybe that is the case, but like in Canada, we would never do anything unless we were fully prepared for either options. Like it's, you know, if you're basically saying this person's going to come back, well then just put it back. Like don't even do the puzzle. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're saying like they could have just made that, if you're like, we want this person back, then you wouldn't go to the trouble of having that. So I think, you know, from my perspective, if we were doing something like that, and we have, we did, I think it was a couple years ago. I feel like it was like Cindy with an S
yes.
Had won a challenge from the first five coming back and then had to go into the vault and like complete the same. It was kind of a similar thing. Like she had like 2 minutes to complete this crazy thing. And if she did, and we were, you know, we were fully prepared that if she didn't get it, she wouldn't come back. And, you know, I know it's a bit of a lunch bag letdown, to kind of not see it. But I think that's also, that's kind of the show though. I mean, that's the thing with all these twists and things like that. Like, you know, one thing that people, you know, love or hate about Big Brother Canada was something that they can blame me for. It is a triple evictions, which we kind of sort of, you know, did it for fun. And then we've kind of done it a couple times just because we wanted to put more people in, and it's, we do a month less than the US, so it's harder to get people out. But it's something that, you know, again, you love it when the people you don't like get taken out, and you hate it when your favorites go. But it's, you know, and obviously we have no say, like we don't have, you know, like it just happens how it does. And I think it's just, those are exciting. That's why people keep watching these shows, you know, is like, I think it's, you don't know what's going to happen. I think you all thought she was going to get the puzzle and she didn't. So that, I mean, would we be talking about it that much if she did do it? No, you know?
Yeah. What's been your overall take on Big Brother 20 so far?
I've actually really enjoyed, it's been one of my favorites in the last couple of years. I mean, I've just watched the show. I'm not like, I don't watch the feeds or anything like that, but I feel like the cast is really interesting. I love Sam and loved Nicole Richie while she was there. And, you know, and JC is really interesting people. And it seems like, just from my point of view, that a lot of them don't know the game that well, which as a fan, I really love. Like, I actually like people that are just, my favorite house guests are people that have no filter and don't know the game. Like, that to me is, those are the best. Like, sometimes when they know it too well, it's, you know, it's kind of hard. But so I find that this cast is really, really interesting.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Is that your take?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is that, you know, you do have people in there who know the game pretty well and, you know, are kind of, you know, try to give off that, you know, I don't know the game super well. But I think that what has been really fun is that there are people who don't know the game super well but act like they know it really well and play very aggressively. I feel like that those are the people that really, you know, create the most fun in these Big Brother seasons.
Yeah, no, it's been fun to watch.
I think another part of it is that, like, as opposed to a previous U.S. seasons where there's kind of like one player that knows the game really well, there are people on kind of both sides of the house that are like good at the game and that they're kind of keeping each other in check and keeping everything balanced.
Mm-hmm. No. Going back to Big Brother Canada and, you know, how you guys construct the challenges, like how far in advance do you know your, you know, layout of what the challenge schedule is going to be?
Yeah, I mean, way in advance. Like except for this year, because I'm in the UK, I'm normally almost full year on Canada. So truthfully, I've already got a chunk of them planned for Big Brother 7 already at this point. It's something that we definitely look ahead way in advance. We have a smaller team than in the US, so you know, we try and just like get it as much done as we can early on, and kind of like you know, Pete Farragher, who designs the house, is brilliant, and he designs all the challenges. So it's, you know, it's kind of a small team, so we need a lot of prep time to really kind of get things in motion. So I already have a pretty good idea of a few things anyway this coming year, but whereas the US, you know, huge team, and certainly they kind of do a lot more of the work really a lot closer up to the show. But, you know, it's funny. One of those things people always say is like, oh, you know, you fixed this competition for this person. It's like these challenges are laid out before casting even starts. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. And you could never, I mean, sometimes it does seem to work out that the person who may be in trouble, you know, it's a small girl and here's an endurance. But it's like the logistics involved in these things is too big to even try to kind of tailor anything to anyone. And the second you want to do that, it's going to backfire anyway. Do you know what I mean? The second you try. So it's just like, it's just one of those funny things that people, every once in a while I'll see something on Twitter, but it's like, yeah, okay. Like this was planned out in November and it's now March. Do you know what I mean?
Right. That was something that came up a lot in the US last season with Christmas and you know, she couldn't do certain things and, oh, they made this come up here. So Christmas could be in this competition. Mm-hmm. So, it doesn't
that kind of situation is tough. I don't really, you know, we've been lucky and never had someone get really injured and stuff, but, you know, I don't really know, but it's, yeah, like for the most part, like things are planned out way, way sooner in advance. And I mean, things do pop up, of course. And like, you know, we do a bunch of kind of sponsored challenges, branded stuff. So, and those are obviously planned out way in advance as well, just for the kind of approvals and things like that. But
Yeah.
So for the most part, it's way in advance, you know.
When you see, because especially with Big Brother, there are all sorts of like people that have like all sorts of conspiracies. Do you find some of those funny? Like when people are like, oh well, you know, they did this to rig it here, or you know, they want this person to win, so they did this. Like, what is your reaction to seeing this?
Yeah, I mean, like the truth is obviously like the great thing about Big Brother is the fans are super passionate. Like it's great, you know, like, and it's one of those things that when you do something that they love, it's great because they will be the first to tell you. And if you do something that they don't like, they will be the first to tell you. Which is great. It kind of keeps you honest. And it actually makes like for me and my team, it makes us try, like we do get a lot of tweets and things like that about challenges and stuff, which makes us, you know, push the envelope and try and be bigger and better in terms of those kind of conspiracies. Yeah. It's like sometimes it's like, you know, you kind of shake your head at like, cause as you'll see just as many saying they rig it for this person, and yeah, you'll see just as many saying they rigged it for the person on the other side of the house. It's like, okay, you know, it's, you can only like, there are definitely times where like for weeks during the show, I just like stay away from Twitter.
Yeah.
Cause you just for your sanity, you kind of have to, you know, but it is great though. Cause it's like, I mean, I've never been a part of any other show that has anywhere close to this type of kind of fandom. So it is actually super fun. And it is something that like, you know, we on the show notice and we appreciate, and, you know, I mean, hey, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our fans. We were canceled, you know?
Mm-hmm. On Giannis. So, yes.
Yeah, we were on hiatus. So, you know, here we are at season 7. I thought we were done after 5. So, you know,
yeah.
Thanks to the fans. Conspiracies and all. Conspiracies and all. Bring them on.
Could you give us the origin story of Marsha the Moose? And really, you know, did they come to you and say, hey, we need a character to be sort of a mascot for the show? Or did you do Marsha the Moose as a character before Big Brother and said, hey, could I do Marsha here?
Yeah, Marsha's a character from my stand-up act. No, I'm kidding. No, the truth is, Erin, again, she was like, I think just like at a cottage one weekend, like this is months before the very first season, and someone had a moose head on the wall. And I think, you know, she was familiar with other countries and how they've done like, there's like talking trees and things like that on other shows. And I think she just kind of had this idea that, you know, Canada, our first season should be very Canadiana, and she wanted to have this moose in there. So she had the idea to have this kind of talking moose and then asked me if I would voice it because, you know, of my kind of comedy background. And you know, I did it, like, I think we just thought it'd be a silly thing to do once. And I think the first time we did it was with Peter Brown, I think. And it was actually it was a very simple type of challenge. Not even that crazy. But you know, it was really popular. Everyone seemed to really like it. And then, you know, she's kind of come back every year, and we've gotten to do like the last couple of things we've done have been some of my favorite things on the show. Like the Karen, where we, Ica'd, where we kind of turned it on Ica. What was that? 2 years ago. Do you know that one? We had Karen like pretend like it was kind of, we flipped it on the
when she had to give punishments to everybody. Was it? Yeah.
Cause you know what, here's the thing is like, it is really, as you can probably imagine, really hard to kind of put one by the house guests. Mm-hmm. They're onto everything, especially when they're in there, they know the show. It's really hard to fool them. So, you know, we really, really work hard to try and to do that kind of stuff. And so that was one that, I mean, I think couldn't have been any better. You know, they really fully bought into it. You know, Ica was screaming because the punishment for her was that she couldn't vote anymore. She was literally in the shower screaming, I have no vote. I had to like try and get her out of it. I was like, we couldn't see her. And it was like 10 minutes. We're like, you have to get out of the shower. And it was kind of borderline almost too much. We were like, let's pull the plug on this because people are spiraling. But that was a really good one. We had a fun, like I think it was a wedding with Nikki Graham and Joel. Oh yeah. And Joel, he had to go on his first date, and then he had to like dump Cassandra. Mm-hmm. And Cassandra was not aware. Like it, you know, so I'm really proud of the stuff we've done with Marsha. What did we do this year? Did we do something?
With Will, right? That he had to
scooch him in. Oh yeah, also super fun. So yeah, it's kind of been something that like, you know, really was just this fun little thing that kind of turned into, you know, kind of a real, I don't know, mascot for the show, I guess, or.
Now, what is your role going to be on Big Brother UK?
So it's different. I start soon. And so I'm a senior producer and different. I kind of don't know everything yet, but they don't. You know, it's a very different format. Obviously, they don't do challenges and that. So I won't be doing any of that, and I'll just kind of be more, just kind of more of a real kind of producer role in terms of reality and stuff like that. So for me, it's a bit of a different job, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yes.
And again, it's like I've watched the UK version for so long, and you know, it's been a dream to work on Canada and the US, but like to work on the UK one just feels like, you know, like it feels like the pinnacle of Big Brother. Like it really is kind of globally like the centerpiece, I feel, of Big Brother. I know it doesn't feel like that in America probably, but so, you know, they do a show every day. And we're starting with Celeb version, which I don't know if you've ever watched their Celebs.
Yeah,
but
yes.
Super exciting.
Yes.
And the theme this year is Eye of the Storm. So I think it's a lot of celebs who have kind of like, you know, weathered some tough times. So I don't know anyone who's going in yet. So I'm super excited to find out.
But it hasn't been that. I feel like that there's been
there's a lot of rumors out there.
Rumors.
Yeah, a ton. And, you know, I'm checking them all just like everyone else. And because I'm so curious. But it seems like there's like, it's kind of one of those, even like in the US, I remember following along to the rumored ones. And I feel like not many panned out from the rumor.
Yes.
So it's kind of one of those, like, I'm trying not to get my hopes up too high, you know?
Is it true that Caitlin Herman is being talked about for Celebrity Big Brother UK?
I wish Aiko Wong would do it. That's who I would love to see play again. I feel like she needs to play Big Brother one more time.
Yeah. All would be good international exports to Celebrity Big Brother UK.
Or Nikki Graham again. Can't get enough of her.
No, she was very fun.
Did you enjoy her on our show?
Nikki Graham?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. She was great. I liked it. I liked it when she came back to host the Big Brother Awards.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Last year. Yeah.
Taryn, did you have anything else you wanted to get into?
When you come up with twists, like what is the process when you come up with the twist for Big Brother Canada? Because that's obviously a huge part of the show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I feel like we've kind of gotten it. I know there was like early on, I think people really kind of, you know, thought we had too many twists, and then there was a season maybe we didn't have enough twists, and it's like one of those again. You just can't please everyone. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's like some people. Again, I think you know a lot of the. You know, who would call themselves the pure fans want no twists. And again, and you know, on paper, you know, I know that sounds great. But then there's a lot of fans who just watch the show, love the twists. They love, you know, double evictions and triple evictions and the fake double eviction and all these kind of things. It's very, you know, it is as much as it is this great game and social experiment, it is also a TV show. And, you know, we're trying to make it entertaining as well. Obviously we're not trying to throw wrenches into people's game, but yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, for us, like the way me and Aaron approach twists is always like we like to try and do things that haven't been done before. I feel like we've done a lot of that, like a lot of kind of first, like I think you know, we did like Canada as an HOH, and you know, like we've done good twists on double evictions, like the triple and then the fake double where no one went home, and so we've done a lot of, you know, we're always trying to look to, you know, the problem is there's only so much you can do though. Like you kind of think about like what there is in the format. So there's kind of a point where you like, you start running out of ideas that still kind of make sense. Cause again, you don't want it to be such a crazy twist that, you know, you kind of lose all the fans. So, but we're, you know, we always try and do it. And again, always, we like to make it fit the theme. So again, like the space and time with the spaceship, you know, we did backwards week, which, I'm sure some liked and didn't like, but, so, you know, we try and like have our twists also fit the theme.
No,
if we can.
What if you have something that's coming up and the, you know, you could tell from the house guests are talking about it and they are on to what is going to be planned. Like, is there wiggle room where you guys may have something planned where you could potentially change the plan, or is everything locked in from the start of the season?
Well, the problem is they talk about everything, right? Like they think every week is a double.
Yes.
And they think every week becomes a triple. And they like the thing is they literally, and then, I mean, the one thing that, you know, we all kind of hate is when we announce a twist, there's always someone who says, I knew it.
Yeah.
Like, but They knew everything. It, like, doesn't matter what we did, you know, because they've talked about every, because that's all they have to do, of course, right? Is like, you know, talk about every possibility. So, so that's always like one of my personal pet peeves is the, I knew it. It's like, oh, did you though? You also, you know, knew eight other things that you thought was, you know.
Yeah, and they'll have just been saying like, oh, there's no way. There's no way that's going to happen. And then they'll say, I knew it.
I know. That's what it is. Like, I know. I would just want to say that before Arista comes on. Okay, guys, now sit still and just no one say I knew it, please. But yeah, no, we don't like, you know, certainly they don't like, we don't change anything based on what they're expecting. And, you know, there does become a point where they, you know, if you haven't had a double in a couple of weeks, they kind of, they think they know. They never do know, though, right? Like, they never really know until we tell them. So, but we wouldn't, I don't think we would change anything just to, out of spite so that they don't see it come.
How closely are you following the feeds from the house during a season? Are you sort of like mostly focused on your tasks, or are you able to, you know, follow the day to day of the housecast?
On Canada, well, I definitely like, I mean, obviously I'm watching all the shows and I do, we have it up in our office. So I do get the feeds up, you know, on a screen in my office. So I'm kind of watching along to an extent, obviously kind of in my role with challenges and tasks and things like that. I don't, you know, as much as I don't really need to know kind of exactly what's going on a day to day in terms of gaming and stuff like that. So, I watch kind of as much as I can, but also like I spend so little time in my office, like it's go, go, go. Like, as you can imagine, like, you know, once the show starts, it's nonstop. It's 24/7. It's relentless. And we're just like, you see the stuff that we do in the backyard and, you know, so it's just like every day there's a, every 2 or 3 days there's a crazy new challenge in there. We're in the backyard like 4 or 5 days a week. So it's just, it's super busy. So, you know, I kind of watch as much as I can, but maybe not as much as I would like to sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trevor, thank you for coming on and, you know, spending some time with us and giving us a little peek behind the curtain of what you do.
Well, I hope it was interesting. I know there's only so much I can say, but.
Yeah, that we were interested.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there anything that you, you know, I know you don't do a ton of interviews like this. Is there anything that you would want the fans to know?
I don't know what do you mean?
I don't know. Like, I feel like that there's probably, if I had to guess, like, I would think that there would be, some like conversations like, what, you know, I wish that the people that were watching the show understood this or anything like that.
Well, listen, I also like a little bit of mystery. So I think, that's why even sometimes maybe we don't do a lot of these kind of interviews because it's actually, although you know what, the fun thing that we used to do is we used to have like an after show called the Sideshow, and we did a lot of behind the scenes stuff. We did a lot of behind the scenes on like making a challenge and things like, I don't know if you ever saw any of that stuff, but, and that was kind of really cool. I think we got to give fans a bit of a perspective of kind of behind the scenes and, as much as we could. And I think that's fun. I mean, obviously we, you know, we love our fans and we want to share with them as much as we can without kind of sharing too much, because of course, you know, our next batch of house guests are out there now and some of them are listening to this, you know, so there's kind of only so much you can say because we don't want to ruin that experience for them. Like, obviously for them, you know, we want them to come into this kind of, you know, kind of sacred thing. And I think them not knowing everything is what makes Big Brother so special still, is that they don't know exactly what they're getting into. Do you know what I mean?
And we have a lot of listeners that are, you know, hopeful applicants for the show. You know, as a co-executive producer, is there any advice that you would give to the applicants or anything that you're looking for from this next batch of applicants?
I mean, I would just say what probably everyone says, and is that, you know, really in terms of applying, the best you can do is just completely be yourself and don't try and put on what you think what we'd want to hear. And, you know, really just be yourself. Obviously we're just looking for really charismatic, super fun, interesting people. I mean, at the heart, it's really still just a social experiment where you're kind of throwing in, you know, 15 or whatever people into a house with no phone, internet, music and all that. And I think so in the end, I think, you know, you're always just looking for the most interesting cross section. And in Canada, you know, I think we try and show highlight a bit that we are different than America. I think if you do watch our show versus Americans, I think you do get a sense that people are a little different. So I think we're, you know, we're obviously trying to really showcase Canada as best we can as well.
All right. Trevor, thank you again for so much for coming on. You could follow Trevor Boris on Twitter at Trevor Boris. And Taryn, anything else you want to add?
Well, don't forget about Instagram.
Yes.
And Instagram. I know you just followed me. Yeah.
And Instagram. Oh, my God. My life is has changed so much now that I'm following Trevor Boris on Instagram.
And I'll follow you back.
So many great photos. Thanks.
Mostly my boyfriend.
Yes, it's great. All right. Thanks again.
Hey, thanks, guys. Really enjoyed it.
Okay, take care.
Okay, bye bye.
All right, Taryn, there you have it, Trevor Boris.
There you go.
There you go.
That was fun.
There you go. I thought that maybe you were going to tell him about the triple eviction, that maybe don't do any more triple evictions.
Well, actually, when we were in Toronto, I did have that conversation with him.
Yes.
So I felt like I've already told him how much I hate these things. So I don't need to like
that
really
was two
rub
triple
it in.
Evictions ago. So maybe
exactly. Yeah, it's not going to do much.
Yes. Okay. Well, maybe they'll say next year they'll surprise you with a quadruple eviction.
Oh my! He said he was. They needed new ideas. So, yeah, so you never know.
There you go. Okay. All right, Taryn. Thank you for taking your eyes off the live feeds for a few minutes to join us here today.
Yes, of course. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay. Catch Taryn again every morning on the live feeds. We'll be back again on Sunday night with the recap of this week's nomination. So be on the lookout for that. Thanks again, everybody. Take care. Bye.